Sion,
La Colle-les-Yvelines,
Saint-Denis, Boulogne-sur-Mer,
Clermont-Ferrand,
Lyon, Giverny,
Angers,
Arles,
Périgueux,
Annecy, Savigny-sur-Orge,
L'Indivision, Paris,
Perpignan.
Pour la nouvelle
Normandie.
Do you have your rib? I'm like, Mukenya kutoka Athi River. Hey, so they're like, oh, do you have a rib? I'm like, what is a rib? It's a relève d'identité bancaire.
Good morning or bonjour. Bonjour à tous. Bonsoir à toutes et tous. Depending on where you are and what you subscribe to. Welcome to the second episode of The Kenyan Francophile. And in this episode, we'll have two guests who have both done the language assistant program and moved on to other things. Still in France, which they will explain in another episode. And Lillian and Olive, who you'll hear about later in the episode, are two of the people who have been knowledge banks, literally knowledge banks to language assistants in my year. And they have really helped us through their journey. They really held our hands. And that's why I wanted to have them as the first guest on the podcast. And I hope you enjoy their episode.
All right, guys, introduce yourselves. Tell us who you are, what you do, what you study, what your field is, where you're from, what you do in France, or what you did in France, or what you're going to do in France, all that.
Okay. Hi, guys. My name is Lillian Demo. I am 24 years old. I was born and raised in Nakuru, Kenya. And honestly, I struggled with elevator pitches. That's what they call them, because I'm at crossroads. But let's just say I did agribusiness management for my undergraduate studies, and I worked as an English language assistant after my graduation for two consecutive academic years. Yes, I love literature and French and music. Yeah, and there's so much more, but that's a brief introduction from me. Yeah.
Hi guys, my name is Olive. just turned very, very old, 27. I'm currently teaching English in Bordeaux, France. I studied French and sociology at Kenyatta University. So hi to all my KU people. Yeah, I think that's it. What I love doing, reading, a little bit of travel, and learning languages.
So perfect. So guys, if you're new here, or if you just, if this is your first episode, maybe listen to the first the previous episode to know what this podcast is all about. So for today, Lillian and Olive will be taking us through their journey in France, what they've been doing there, the challenges, the best parts about it, the worst parts, the lessons, the language itself, and all that. So stay tuned to find out. So you guys tell me, for instance, how did you hear about
Assistant de Langue, or TAPIF, which is Teaching Assistant Program in France, which would be the center of the next couple of episodes in this podcast.
And how was, like, your application process, the visa process, how easy was it for you guys, or how hard was it?
So I first heard about the program in 2019. There was a video by Madame Julie Briand, who's the attaché de coopération at the French embassy. She was the one in charge of the French assistance at the time. Her contract is ending soon, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was a video by her going round, and I remember two friends of mine sent me or forwarded me the video, and my dad as well. But by that time, I decided not to apply because I wanted to be done with my undergraduate studies. But I made sure to familiarize myself with the application process. I remember I even called Julie, who helped me. Yeah, but I decided not to submit my application. So the second time, I applied in 2020. The application process was fairly easy. I didn't have anyone guiding me, but it was not really hard. So the application process was fairly easy, and I submitted, I think the deadline was in January, and we were shortlisted for an interview. I was shortlisted. We had our interview in February, and I think by mid-February, we had gotten the outcome. And yes, so you can imagine waiting from February to October. That's a long wait.
Mm-hmm.
Now, During the first time, 2020 was, you remember, that's the first year of COVID. So,
yeah, that's true.
And Kenya was placed in the red list. I remember Julie had written to us saying that she's not really sure whether the will happen this year. It was such a tough time. And at some point, Kenya was placed in the red list, so by the Schengen zone. So Kenyans were not allowed in the, or travelers from Kenya were not allowed in the Schengen zone.
Mm.
And yeah, it was quite tough. But in September, we got to know, or we got the confirmation that we were going. And since
maybe,
and
this happened, sorry, maybe if I could add something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was also COVID year, and I remember some people being very scared and afraid of going. And so they talked to Julie. There was an option that you could cancel for 2020, but your slot would be kept for you for the next year. That was 2021. So I know there are a few people who canceled because it was such it was such a scary moment, and the people who decided to leave in that year, 2020, and the people who decided to leave in 2021.
Yes.
Go on, Lilian.
Yeah, so by the time we were getting our confirmation, it was in September. And this was because the language assistant program was granted an exemption. So it was quite an informal visa application process. We booked our appointment on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And we got our visas in like 10 days, so everything was chap.
Yeah.
We were about 70.
Yes.
Yeah, the first cohort, they were 50, and then second cohort, 70.
Mm.
Yeah, but the whole application process outside COVID, I would say, was fairly easy.
Olive, do you have anything to add on that? Anything that's different, maybe?
I think also, maybe this, I've seen this coming on later on, but it's nice that the embassy takes care of everything in terms of visa fees.
Yeah.
That really, really helps, especially if you come from a place where your finances are still not in check. So that really, really helps.
Right. So yeah. Is that shout out to the French embassy for this, by the way. And
yeah.
So, like, for now, after preparation, after application and receiving the news that you made it to the program, what are some of the things that you guys did to prepare for your departure, be it either shopping or anything about familiarizing yourself with France, getting your budget in check? What are some of the things that you guys did in preparation for departure?
That's a good question. Honestly, the first time I didn't really prepare much. As I had mentioned in the group the other day, I'm so bad at researching. So I think I'm the kind of person who wants to be surprised.
Hey, you want to be surprised in a foreign land.
Yeah. I didn't do much research, honestly. But what I remember doing is I wrote an email to the schools. Usually when they get in touch with you with your... to send you a document called arrêté de nomination, which acts as a work permit and a contract at the same time.
Yep.
They also give you contacts of your professeur référent. These are people who are in charge of you. They also give you emails of the school. So I contacted the schools to ask about their accommodation options and about the student population. And all that. So I got in touch with my professeur référent. Funny story. My professeur référent is called Saint-Rose. And the whole time we were chatting, I had imagined that he was a woman. So I was very comfortable with him. And he also thought I was a man because Lilian is a male name. So it's only the last day that we realize, you're actually a woman. Funny story. Yeah, but that's, and then I also remember researching my town. That was Arles, and I saw, where Van Gogh lived and spent the last years of his life. you also see, oh, if the south is warmer than other parts of France, so you think that you won't need very warm clothes.
Yeah.
What they don't tell you about is the Mistral. But that my first time also in terms of accommodation, thankfully my teacher had a contact of a landlord who usually rents out to assistants, and I took it. I didn't really research on other accommodation options. Anyway, Arles is an expensive town because it's a tourist town, so I was even lucky to find an apartment or we'll talk more on accommodation later. I got, and that's the only preparation I did. In terms of flights, now Olive and I were among the top three performers in Delft, so our flight was sponsored by the French embassy.
Yeah,
so we didn't have to worry about flights. And in terms of shopping, of course, you shop for the usuals. What I wish I had done is waited until I get to France to buy the warm clothes, but the ones I had bought in Kenya, even the umbrella I had bought in Kenya, no, it was it didn't really help. How so about you, Olive?
My preparation, just as Lillian, our flights were taken care of, so until I had to come to France on my own, I didn't know about the whole process. I just knew that I was going to come. Of course, there's a bit about shopping for warmer clothes. I'd say that the clothes that you get back home are, of course, secondhand. They've been through a lot. But they can act as a placeholder as you come and get your bearings and know where to get affordable quality clothing, especially for the winter season. I was working at the time. It's important to send an email to your colleagues, tell them that you've got an opportunity. For me, when I told them that, they even gave me like money. So,
wow.
Yeah, they gave me money because they couldn't come for the farewell party. We couldn't arrange for a good farewell party. So the money really helps. All this goes in as preparation. Speaking to your prof référent, I remember we even exchanged WhatsApp. It's good to see that, of course, when you get the WhatsApp, you get maybe the picture of the person you're talking to. I got, it was a lady. We were speaking sometimes, asking her about accommodation. So researching about the town is important as well. I knew that Nantes was close to the Atlantic, so it meant that it would be raining most of the times, maybe getting an umbrella or a raincoat, just all that goes into it. So if you're free, you could just do like little research. Nowadays, there's TikTok. I see people going on TikTok, putting what to expect when I go to, or how does this town look like. So research. Don't like go into deep research, but light research that gives you an idea of what to expect.
Yeah, it's really important.
Yeah,
you can also research on the transport.
That's true.
I remember when I moved to I didn't use a bus, the public transport, for like 2 months because I was too scared, and it hadn't even occurred to me that I could Google.
Hey. Yeah.
I think I have PTR'd character development.
Wait, honey, what were you using instead?
I was just in the town. I never traveled.
Oh, and, like outside.
Yeah, okay. Going to the train station. I used to walk. It was far, 30 minutes. But,
damn.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so, just research.
Just to clarify, in case anyone might gets this wrong, Lillian and Oli were only paid for, or Lillian and Oli's flights were only paid for because they were top three performers in Delft or Dove. So otherwise, you're not part of that. You get to cater for your own flights. Just make sure you manage for that. And a good tip that you'll hear over and over again is probably use either Google Flights, Skyscanner, or Student Universe to get to compare the different flight prices. That's a long way. And I think for my side, I would say mine was totally opposite to what you guys are saying. I just did research just kidogo. Hey, me last year is when I went. I was called to, my affectation was in Perpignan, which the south of France, in the larger region, was Académie de Montpellier. But what I didn't realize, and what people should realize, is that if you're called to Académie de Montpellier, it doesn't mean you go to Montpellier.
Yes, the town itself.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought I was going to Montpellier, and I was so excited. So I feel like for months and months and months, I was just reading stuff, watching videos, TikTok, everywhere about Montpellier. Like, I feel like right now, and lucky for me, because I'm actually going to Montpellier this year, I feel like I know so much about Montpellier, and I hadn't, just because I thought I was going there. And it turned out I was going to somewhere else, which is Perpignan. And another,
the stars are lining.
Like, I know, exactly. I was just meant to go there anyway. So, like, another tip you'll hear, which will be definitely a recurring theme, is make sure you join the Facebook groups. The Facebook groups have everything. Literally every single question you have, every concern, every problem you're going through, whether it's administrative processes or whatever, somebody has done this, has gone through the same exact process, and a solution has been offered somewhere. So make sure you join one. There's a main Facebook group for every single year. And there's usually smaller Facebook groups for every region. It could be even for your own town.
That's true.
Yeah.
I also want to add, sometimes research has its limitations, because the second time I was placed in the smallest town of the Académie, second time I was placed in the Académie de Rennes, and I was placed in a small town called Lundivision. And I remember when I Googled, there was nothing about the town. The only thing they had put in the Google reviews or somewhere is that, oh, this was where this famous journalist was born. And that was it. So, yeah, it's good to ask, to talk to people. You can't really research. Okay, that also is part of research. But, yeah, sometimes you may be placed in very small towns and there may not be much information on the internet. I even tried searching that town on TikTok. I only saw people working in McDo and tagging that town. But the Facebook groups, though, when we talk about Facebook groups, don't only limit yourself to the Assistant Facebook group, also join your town's Facebook groups. So for like Lundivision, I got to know of the Facebook groups later on, like in January, but there are groups like Tue de. So it would be like Tue de Lundivision C. And then you can have Actualité Lundivision. You could have, just search your town's, your town on Facebook and join all the Facebook groups.
Even like expats in Bordeaux or there's a wanted community where you get like people who are donating things or who people need services from. It's just a good way to even know what's happening in town if there's a festival. Because trust me, during that first year, staying in the house all day, all night long will be very helpful. Getting out and seeing a little bit of the town and a little bit of its people really, really helps with your mental health, if I may say.
Another group you guys haven't mentioned is the Erasmus groups.
That will only work if you're in a student town. But that's a good idea.
That's about departure and research. How did you guys settle in France? How did you arrive there? Did you have somebody to pick you at the airport? Did you know where you're going? How's the housing situation? So how's that for you guys?
Yeah, the first time I had someone pick me, actually both times. And so I booked a flight the first time, to Aéroport de Montpellier, because Arles is just an hour from Montpellier, and they had my professeur and his wife pick me, and they took me to their house. They invited me there. We had lunch. Ah, they are really a kind family. Mm-hmm. We are still in touch. And then when I got to my apartment, the landlord took me shopping and she showed me the products to get. She was the one who gave me the tips for saving money. She told me, shop at these stores, Aldi and Lidl.
Yeah.
And then to tell me, if you want to get cheap items, don't buy the branded items. Mm-hmm. Buy the off-brand items. So that's how I got to know. So I shopped a bit and yeah, my settling was quite easy, but I remember I didn't know how to use the electric, what do you call it? The cooker. Mm-hmm. What do you call the electric one? I had to Google, how do you switch it on?
Yeah, yeah.
And also the shower. But these things are normal.
Mm-hmm.
Every shower, every microwave somehow is different.
It's different.
Yeah, but getting to my apartment was easy. Yeah. We'll talk about the telephone SIM card. But to me, that was tough because I didn't have a SIM card for a while.
Mm.
And then I had problems with my Wi-Fi. Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
For me, settling was very easy. I also had someone pick me up from the airport and drop me when I was leaving. Those are the kind of things and the kind of people that you're grateful to, because otherwise it can be quite an overwhelming experience.
Yeah.
And what did you guys expect while you're going to France? Did France, when you first landed in France, did it meet your expectations?
Not really. I must say, I had very high expectations.
You had romanticized it?
Tell me about it.
Really romanticized how everything would be, look and feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And then come and be, I don't know. But mostly, this is mostly to do about the way I thought I would be living in France. It's, of course, coming, seeing the building, seeing Charles de Gaulle, how big it is and everything, the tram, the bus. Of course, it did meet my expectations, but how I thought I would live, what I ordered versus what I got.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think it also speaks to how French is taught in Kenya.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's being naive as well. Because I remember, I had such an idealized version of France. And I also thought that France would be full of white people. Mm. You know, I think it also speaks to the narrative in the media and what they call the collective conscious, which is a story for another day.
Mm.
So when I got to the South, I was surprised at the number of Muslims. And I'm not saying this in a negative way. Yeah. I'm just saying I didn't expect it. And in R, there's a higher number of North African immigrants compared to sub-Saharan African immigrants. Same. So that was quite a shock. Because I had imagined I would find white people. But in R, apparently there are more immigrants, or there are more, let's not say immigrants, because most of them have, they are French anyway. But I expected more white people. And I had to unlearn that. Also, because when you learn about France, you only learn about Paris.
Yeah.
Of course, when I landed in Montpellier, I was so impressed by the trams. I was taking videos everywhere, the buildings, the streets. But as we were driving to Arles, I remember looking at the trees and the, you know how the autoroute, the highways are in France. And I remember I even sent a video to my family and I told them, I feel like I'm in Tete a Tete. And my Arc de Triomphe. And then you get to Arles. Your apartment, they look like the apartments in, we could even say the apartments in Quinault. And you sort of had expected something like the old buildings, the romantic, you know how, you all know how, but then you find out they're just bland, modern. apartment.
Yeah. That's true. If I may add, in Nantes, it was the same thing. Like going towards the CBD, there were the old buildings that were really well maintained. But as you move further out of the city, it's just normal apartments. And you're like, I thought this, I thought old buildings were supposed to be for the whole city.
Yeah.
Mm.
I also expected people to notice me. Character vibes, like when you walk and people are like, "Ooh, who's this new tenant in our building?" Or who's this? I've never seen this face before. Hey, utangoja. Yeah. No one notices you.
Nobody. Nobody gives up.
No one. No one cares.
Yes. Wait, did you guys expect to be noticed because you're black or because you're new?
No, because you're new.
Okay.
I expected to be noticed.
For me, it was because I was black and I was new.
Okay. So I would say mine was a bit, I don't know how I would call it. I think I was too stressed to take it all in all at once. At once, because when I landed, there was a whole hullabaloo of getting confused and lost in the airport. You know how huge CDG is. And it took a while to just even get to Paris, like the city center. And I don't know why in our heads, you feel like when you enter Paris, you should instantly see the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. And
you have to look for it to find it. It's theatrical killer, Mali. But eventually we did see it and all that. Obviously, I had romanticized the idea of France and all and moving to France like everybody else. But to some extent, it did meet my expectations. Mm-hmm. It felt very nice to finally go to like what I would call the country I had dreamt of going to for like my whole life and being there. But the feeling of appreciation only came in after the stress of settling had settled, because before that it was a bit stressful to think of being in a new environment. I don't know anyone, no friends, no family here, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say Paris was underwhelming for me or France was underwhelming for me. I don't think underwhelming is the term I would use to describe the feeling I got when I first got there.
Mm.
So that's about my expectations and reality.
Mm. Just let me pause you or add something there. It's interesting that you say that you were scared of having no friends and family and basically starting from zero, because I had a different experience. It didn't hit me that I would be alone, no friends, no family, no nothing, until like, I don't know, maybe 1 week or 2 weeks after, then I'm like, these are the things that I would do, but now I'm not doing them now. So,
Me too. I remember my mom had told me that by the 3rd week, I would feel like coming back. And in my head, I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm young. Yeah. I'm capable of making friends.
For me, it helped that I have a cousin in France, which I only came to find out after. I came to find out after I knew I was going there. So, you know, they say about moms. Moms know, they know somebody everywhere. So I just found out that there. He picked me from the airport and all that.
Wow.
So I was very lost at the beginning. Even though he stays in Lille in the north of France and I was down south, I did feel like at least I know somebody in this country that I can call anytime. It's actually him who bought me my first SIM card. He taught me how to load the SIM card. He walked me around the city, showed me stuff. So as in 2 days, I felt like, okay, Nikosawa, before the confusion set in.
That's really helpful.
It helps to have someone. And how is your housing situation? How much rent were you paying? What were you living in a colocation, which is a room sharing? Did you get a host family? Were you living in a school accommodation? Did you have to pay deposit? Landlord situation? How was all that for you guys?
So for me, okay, go ahead, Oli.
I was about to ask Elian, do you want to go first?
For me, the first time I lived alone in a big apartment, a 2-bedroom apartment, and that was only possible because my roommate had to cancel coming to France because of COVID.
Wait, so my rent was a 2-bedroom apartment?
No, yeah, my no, but my part of the colocation, my my part, I didn't have to pay for the, so I paid 350 euros. I didn't pay deposit because we made a deal with the landlord. So I taught his daughter French, I mean English. Oh my goodness, teaching her to speak French, no. I taught the daughter English. And yeah, I think we made calculations, 15 euros an hour, but it added up to 350 euros at the end. And that was really helpful. It helped me save money because by the time I was leaving, he paid me the 350 euros. That was the first time I was alone. And it was nice, but it was also very lonely. The second time I lived in a colocation and we had a big house to ourselves. We were colocation is when you have, it's a roommate. How do you call it? I don't even know the English term for it.
I can say you just had roommates or housemates.
Yeah. So the second time I was in a colocation. Colocation is a is when you have roommates or housemates. There were five when I went in. So it was a big house, not really an apartment, but a house on its own. And I had, I was the only girl. I remember before going, my landlady texted me and she was like, after I have talked to her all about booking my room, then she was like, oh, pour info, that's for your information, would be the only lady. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. We'll see how it goes. But I had the most amazing time with my roommates. They were very respectful. Actually, yeah, I one roommate who we are friends up to now, and he really helped me in settling. Of course, there was the usual colocation drama, but the second time was in a roommate situation. First time I was alone, but and I would say that I preferred living with roommates.
Same.
Maybe just to add on to what Lillian says, to offer a small contrast, is that back home, when you think about like being in a colocation, especially with men, nobody would encourage you to do it. Your family and wouldn't be up for the idea. But moving here and seeing how the circumstances are, it's quite pretty normal for you to move in if you're the only girl, if you're the only man. It doesn't matter whom you live with, as long as you have a roof over your head.
And I would say there are also rules for colocation. So you have to respect your roommate's privacy. That means you don't go to their rooms. Your room is your sanctuary. It's your private space. So no one is supposed to come in as they like, unless you invite them. But no one ever came to my room. I never went to other people's rooms. Yeah, we only shared the common spaces. And if anything happened, of course, I would tell my landlady and they would be in very serious trouble. And I like that in France, the systems actually work. So you see that, people are very respectful. Yeah, so the first time we were five, so four men. At I think at first, the first week I was feeling like, oh my goodness, this is such an overwhelming masculine energy in the house. Yeah, but I got used to it pretty quickly. I also expected to find young people, students. But when you're in a smaller town, I remember my first roommate was actually, the roommate I found was much older, like retirement age. And in my head, I was imagining finding young people. I had imagined, But you find that, even you can have older roommates, you can have male roommates. It's quite normal.
Maybe you guys want to tell people where you found these accommodations. How do you look for housing in France?
Go ahead. I can speak to that just to offer a different perspective.
when I was coming in, the school already had given me options. My prof référent had told me, you can either stay within the school's housing situation, or there's a family who usually hosts incoming assistants. And for me, I chose to stay in school. I think at the time I was like, I'm not ready to stay with another family, having stayed with my own family. Anyway, so I chose to stay with the school. Comparatively, it's a bit cheaper.
Yeah, a lot cheaper.
A lot cheaper. Sometimes you are allowed to apply for the housing help that comes from the government. Sometimes you're not allowed. Like, so in my case, I wasn't allowed to apply for the housing aid. So everything I paid, I just paid. And my rent was about 230 euros per month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That is not the food. I have not eaten yet.
Food is very important. Yeah, and you, Taya, you stayed with a host family at some point, no?
Yeah, man. So as I have explained in the previous podcast, I mean the previous episode, my first ever accommodation was in with a host family, which I got through a Facebook group. When I joined the Facebook group for my region, I saw guys talking about these families they stayed with. I just inboxed some previous assistant who'd been there probably 5 years ago or something, and then she hooked us up. We talked before, had a few video calls, and then when I arrived, I went straight to their house and stuff like that. They welcomed me into their home. But the thing about this housing situation is, the thing I didn't like about it was that I was paying rent, and it was a lot of rent, and yet I was still teaching their child English. I was still offering lessons.
Do you mind sharing?
I think I was paying like 400 euros. Yeah, I was paying like
400. Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And if I was to do it again, I don't think I would do that because it was expensive. And I shared a lot of this in the previous episode, the fact that I stayed there and I didn't know any better because I felt like it was the worst situation I had at the time. And I feel like I was kind of manipulated to feel like I didn't have any other option and it was the best option at the time. But I of course I do have some regrets about staying there. Things didn't go so well eventually.
You said that you also were teaching their son English?
Yeah, I did teach their son English classes. They did pay me for that separately, but I was still paying rent fully, you get? Yeah. And in fact, if I was to advise anyone who's going for a host family, please just know the terms of what you're going into before you get there. Because I feel like mine wasn't very clear.
Yeah.
When I started finding out things that I didn't think were applicable. And the other part was that there was no formal contract to sign. They didn't let me for CAF, which I thought I would. Just to explain that to anyone listening. So in France, usually the government can offer some housing aid. It's called CAF or APL by the welfare office. So some areas are eligible for it, some are not. So you have to find out if you are or not.
Yeah.
So actually in my second accommodation, I did get to benefit from CAF and I'm grateful for that. But if I can imagine, if I got to apply for CAF from the beginning, I would have saved so much more than I did. So
yeah,
do your research on your options and know whether it's the best option for you. So yeah,
that's true. Also, I'd love to add something. I think even maybe this is something we should have talked about in the beginning, is it's the first thing they tell you, especially from the Francophile community, when you're coming to France, don't convert anything to Kenya shillings. When I was back home and they were telling me, oh, you will be paying rent for at about 230 to 250 euros, I was like, how am I paying that money and I'm going to share my house?
How much is it in Kenya?
That is 25,000 shillings for sharing a house. Are they mad?
Are you mad?
And fact,
it's a whole different
cheapest That is the most cheapest accommodation I've ever come across in this France.
So like the situations are different.
Yeah.
Don't compare.
Also, don't expect the housing, the government aid on housing. So please, if you don't go for an expensive apartment expecting that the government will come, it's not assured.
It might not come. That's
it true. Might never come. I've never gotten CAF myself. Yeah.
And even if it comes, don't plan for it. Just assume it won't come. So that way, if it comes, you have enough, you have some money on the side. Because it can disappoint you. Don't plan for money you don't have in your hand. So, that's about housing and car.
You didn't answer that question, actually. Yeah. Like how we found the apartment.
Yeah. So tell
us. Okay. So, how I got my first apartment, actually, I was connected to a landlord who usually rents out to assistants, and I didn't even research further. I just took the apartment, and it was the cheapest. You know, apartments in Arles are super expensive. So, and I was paying 350 euros, and that was one among the cheapest. Because when I talked to my colleague assistants, one was paying 400 euros. The other paid 500 euros for her first apartment in Arles. Yeah, I actually remember the first time I paid rent, I almost cried. Like, you're happy you've received your salary, and then half of it just goes
to rent. To accommodation.
Yeah, then the second time I found my apartment on Le Bon Coin. My prof, that's my supervisor, teacher. My reference teacher had connected me to her friend who was asking for 500 euros rent and in a town that was 30 minutes away. So there's no way I could have taken that apartment. So I had to hunt on Le Bon Coin. Now the problem, it's so hard to contact the landlords on Le Bon Coin because they don't answer the emails for some reason. So I used to write to the landlords. I check my emails, nothing. I mean, not to my landlord, but to the landlords on Le Bon Coin. I had seen a studio apartment for like 350 euros. They never got back to me. And by the time you're going back to the website, the house is already full. But for the last apartment, and also my prof referent the second time, was not really proactive in helping me. So I felt like I was on my own. But thankfully, she agreed to help me contact the landlady. And I got, she sent me a virtual tour of the house. But the problem is she was asking for the deposit. Now, if you're listening to this, please don't pay deposit before you see the house and before you sign the lease.
Yeah, that's true.
It's against the rules, actually, in France.
You might be scammed.
Many people have been scammed. Yeah, so she was asking, she was very insistent on the deposit. And I told her that, unfortunately, sending money from Kenya is expensive. And she agreed. And then after 2 days, she's like, oh, do you know of PayPal? And that's when I had to get my school involved. So the manager of the school prepared attestation or a document proving that I will be working with the school from October to April, and that's when she decided to reserve the room for me. I guess the problem was that the house was in high demand and many people were asking about the room, so I get when someone is a foreigner and you don't even know whether they'll be coming and someone else is asking for the room. But if you're in a similar situation, just ask your school to prepare a document that proves you will be working with them.
Yeah.
And the landlord, your landlord will reserve a room for you.
I think also, if you're looking for colocation, if colocation is the cheapest option, you can look on Facebook. There are usually people who post like their colocation on Facebook Marketplace as well. You can check on La Carte des Colocs, which according to each town, it's a very helpful website. You can see how long it might take you from one place to your workplace, how far out the collocations are in the town. So I think one thing that we don't say a lot, and this is something that we I share with my Indian colleague, is that everything is digitalized. And yeah. So that's really one of the biggest shocks when you're coming, because back home, it's usually word of mouth or physically going there to see the house. And here, it's more digitized. You have to go on Le Bon Coin, you have to go on Facebook, Carte de Coloc. So it can be overwhelming, but hold on.
You'll find something.
You will find something.
I think there are also cheaper options like Habitation, but I don't have experience in that. Also, people have gotten free housing from the mairie, but unfortunately, I don't have much experience in that. But it could be something you would want to look into.
Yeah,
I'm currently in a residence. And normally, even especially with the CAF, they do everything. You just have to go home. So living at a residence could be one thing. You could go to KUS.
Yeah.
KUS is also a very good place to stay. And yeah, some of the options that you have. I think maybe if you can, Tara, you can link.
Yeah, I'll definitely link everything below. So just to explain a bit further, KUS, C-R-O-U-S, is like the student university residence, which you find in almost every big town has. Maybe the small towns, I don't know.
Mm.
And the thing about KUS, you have to apply a bit earlier. They usually open a window for international students and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't accept people who are not students, but sometimes they do. So it just depends on how your case is included and all. But it's worth a try. Always is.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to link everything below, from the KUS to Le Bon Coin, colocation.fr, and all those. So maybe you guys could tell us a bit about the very first administrative processes you guys had to do when you just arrived, from your bank to your SIM card, social security, everything you did to settle the first few weeks.
Oh my gosh, don't I have stories for days? One of the greatest shocks that I got here was everything is connected. Your bank is connected to your phone number is connected to your address, your address is connected to your social security is connected to your housing help. Your housing health is connected to your physical health. You have to go to see a doctor connected to your phone now. I remember one of the first things that I wanted to do was get a phone number. So it was COVID times. You had to get an appointment online. They call it rendezvous, and then you go there at the set time. I did all that, went to the rendezvous. I'm there. I'm like, yeah, so I want a line. And back home with Safaricom or with Orange or with Airtel, they just tell you, give us 50 bob or 100 shillings. Register it. Where's your ID? Here's your number. As I was saying, now that I have my coffee here, I got there for the rendezvous, and when it was my time, they're like, hello, welcome. So you're ready to open an account with us? I'm like, an account? I just want a line. Okay. Do you have your RIB? I'm like, Mkenya kutoka Athi River. So they're like, oh, do you have a RIB? I'm like, what is a RIB? It's a relève d'identité bancaire. What is a relève d'identité? Yanni, it was too much. I came out of that meeting traumatized. And yet, I just went for a line. So they were like, you just need to open a bank account. Then I went back home because I was already traumatized, and I went to sleep and waited for the next day. So the next day, I asked people, my roommate, where can I open a bank account? They're like, just choose any. I was like, okay. I went to, got my online. I went to Crédit Agricole. But Sasa, I was 10 minutes late. So oh, I'm there, the agence imefungwa, it's been closed. I'm there knocking on the door, and then somebody, one of the agents comes and sees me. She's like, yeah, hi, how can I help you? I'm like, my rendezvous was at 6 p.m., but now it's 6:15. Is it okay if we continue? She's like, no. I'm like, why? You're late. Kukua late ni kitu ya kunyima mtu baka.
Imagine.
And back home, you just walk into the into a bank. You say, I want to open a KCB account. They take your ID. And if there's need, your email and your phone number. Mm-hmm.
In fact, you can even do everything from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was the end. I was traumatized. I was like, getting 10 minutes late is something that you will make sure not to give me a bank account today. So I woke up the next day. And and let me tell you, it is a process. They needed all of my five, I don't know if it was 10 fingerprints, mm-hmm. on their things. They needed my PS d'identité, that is my passport. They needed an attestation, a document that shows that I am actually living in France and in a specific address. Again, I was shocked until we came to the point where I had to sign and give them 20 euros for them to open my bank account. After that, I went home, ate rice, and slept because what a traumatizing day.
Yeah.
After that, maybe I can just speak a little bit about my social security, which is like NSSF back home. Please make sure that all your documents reflect the right name, because I remember my contract was reflecting Kasiba, and I'm not Kasiba, I'm Kabisa. And it has taken me almost a year to change the name. I still don't have my carte vitale. So by the way, I'm surviving on prayers. I just told God.
You and me both. You and me both, Olive.
Because
Olive, I'm in that same situation. I didn't know it was... compared to Wengi, that makes me feel better. Because my names are not the same in my documents.
And it takes a whole 3 to 6 months. I was so shocked. Changing my name in my documents, what more proof do you want apart from my passport and birth certificate to take 6 months?
So heads up to anyone out there, if your names are not like matching in any documents, make sure you change, you work on it before you go to France, because it's going to give you problems.
True.
Yep.
So that was my experience. How about you, guys?
For me, I think I was advised that the first thing to do is to get a contract, contrat de location, which is like the lease from the landlord. So I had that sorted. And then when I went to open a bank account, I think that was also a shock for me that I had to book an appointment. And I remember I went to Crédit Agricole, which is one of the banks. They told me, oh, we have no appointments until 20th October. I'm like, are you crazy? Are you mad? Opening a bank account at least it takes even less than an hour. In Kenya, it takes 30 minutes. So I had to, I ended up going to Societe Generale because they had the closest appointment. Now, on the day of my appointment, let me tell you, that's when I knew I don't know any French. Because he was explaining, going slowly, I'm not getting anything. I remember at some point he asked if I wanted découvert. I'm like, what the hell is découvert? And he had to take out a piece of paper and actually draw. Découvert is overdraft. So he was asking if I wanted an allowance for overdraft. I'm like, what is that? And he takes out a piece of paper and he draws a graph and he's like, and he's speaking. And you know how sometimes it may feel very condescending when you speak slowly and okay, now, so let's say here is your bank account. And it's zero. So when you go below zero and let's say 100 euros, this space is what we call découvert. So do you want découvert? I was so confused. I ended up saying yes to everything. For you to have découvert, you have to pay like 3 euros, like an insurance for that. 5 euros. I think it's about 3 euros a month. And it's catwad every 3 months. 10 euros a month. So after every 3 months, 30 euros goes just like that.
Mm.
I remember being asked about house insurance.
Yeah.
And of course you say, no, I don't have. Yes, it's true that it's recommended, but you don't have to get your house insurance from the bank.
Especially. But
because they are there to sell their services, of course they'll make it seem like it's the end of the world if you don't get your... Yeah, and you know, I was paying 20 euros a month for... And that's because I came to find out later, it's because he had... It's like I was paying for the whole apartment. And usually when you're in a colocation, mm-hmm. and my contract was colocation,
mm-hmm.
you're only supposed to pay for your part of the apartment.
Yes, that's true.
So that includes your room and the shared spaces. It's divided by four.
Yeah.
So you're only supposed to take care of your part of the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but because I was new, I ended up paying for the whole apartment. 20 euros per month was going like that. I didn't even know there was an option of cancelling the... And I remember when I told my landlord, oh, but there have been... Here's the attestation. Because when you pay for insurance, you're given a document to give to your landlord that proves mm-hmm. that your house is insured. And he told me, c'est nul. And I almost cried. And it's like, you don't have to, don't feel pressured if you don't understand anything in the contract. Mm. Just tell them to give it to you, and then you can ask me, you can ask your professor, référent, and they'll be able to advise you. But because I was new, and I was so, first of all, the French, I didn't know the financial vocabulary. I wasn't even
sure.
that good in French.
Mm.
And so I was feeling so overwhelmed, and I felt like I had to say yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I ended up paying for Découverte. That's how I ended up paying for the insurance and all. So please, when you go to the bank, even if you the people are there to help you. That's the work of the conseiller. Conseiller is the... Do we call them relationship managers? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But their work is to help you understand. So don't feel like you're inconveniencing them when you don't get anything. Please, even if you say pardon a million times, don't find yourself signing for services that you don't really need or paying extra money for things that you don't really need. They are there to help you. So.
Yeah.
Ask all the questions. If there's something you don't understand, don't let them pressure you into it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do is you can go with your prof to get your
appointment,
or your host family, or
mm-hmm.
there are people, or even if you find an assistant who was there the previous year or a student, you can ask them to help you so that you make sure that you understand everything and you're not pressured to subscribe or to take services that you don't really
need. That was my situation, actually, because I had a host family at the time. So I think the next day after I arrived, he took me to the bank, and luckily he knew the guys at the bank personally, so I didn't even have to book. Yeah, I did book an appointment, but it was like the next day. It was so quick for me. And that's one of the upsides of having a host family. Everything was just direct and straightforward for me.
And I wanted to add something onto, especially the housing insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I think coming back from home, I can say to an extent I'm very miserly, because coming back from home, I was like, in Kenya, we don't pay housing insurance.
Why
do I need to come pay housing insurance in France? Mm-hmm. And then when I talked to my roommate about it, she was like, oh, maybe it snows or maybe it rains and then the house gets that. I was like, but it's never going to snow to that extent. It's going to rain to that extent. But the importance of that document especially is so that if you need like an attestation de logement, if you need to prove that you're actually living in France, that document really, really comes through. And because it's part of the administrative processes that you might meet now or even 5 years later.
Mm, you know, yep.
So please, I know back home we don't do it, but here it's a new system. We need to chill with the big boys. We need to decided to chill with the big boys, so let's chill with them.
Yeah, now that was the bank. At that time, I didn't have a French SIM card because I was told that I had to have a RIB, as you've heard, is the RIB, Relevé d'Identité Bancaire, is a document that shows your bank coordinate and your address. I didn't have a RIB at the time. So when I was going for my appointment, they just wrote my Kenyan number, but I went to change later on. Now, about my SIM card, I made a mistake the first time. I went to SFR and they asked for their carte prépayée. I thought I'd have something to shikilia me as I wait for my ribs. And people don't tell you that you don't need rib to buy a free telephone.
Yes.
Free, we don't mean that it's free, but it's a telephone operator. Yeah. Well, you don't need a rib. You can use your Kenyan
bank account.
Bank, and then you'll sort out the details later. You can also buy, they call it Lebara. Lebara. They don't need rib. So do your research. So I went for the more expensive option, SFR, and I remember I had gotten, I think like 50 GB and unlimited calls and SMSs. So I thought this would be enough to last me the whole month. And remember, it's your first month; you don't have friends yet, so you really need social media to keep your sanity. Let me tell you, that 50 GB ended in a week, and when I went to reload my line, I was shocked that I had to pay 20 euros more for like 20 GB and then also it shared in like a week. By the time I was finishing the process, I had spent like 80 euros and the reason why I was spending so much on internet is because there was a problem with the Wi-Fi, and so I thought it would be like in Kenya, when you have a problem with your internet box, you just call Safaricom or Zuku, and in 2 days max that's sorted. But in France, you have to book an appointment with the technician.
Yes,
and they're not available all the time. So I think it took them a month to fix that Wi-Fi box. So that's why I was spending so much on the internet. But eventually, when I got my RIB, I ordered my free telephone line, and I was able. No, also, don't worry. If you have carte sans abonnement, means that you are not contracted to pay for the card every month. You can cancel anytime. So make sure you get that one. And with SFR, the prepaid card was sans abonnement, so I was able to transfer my number.
Yeah.
When I was ordering a free line, I transferred to the next operator and without extra charges. Now, about my carte, oh my goodness. So first of all, when you go to France, they tell you, of course, they give you the steps, but you expect that the secretary or your CPO, for those in primary school, premier degree, you have a CPO. No, not CPO. Because what are they called, Tara?
The guys who do what? The,
those people in charge of your admin.
Conseiller pédagogique.
Yeah, conseiller. CPO is something different. Yeah, they have the conseiller pédagogique. And also us in college and lycée, you have the secretary of your school. He or she is the one in charge of your papers. Now, after I got my RIB, I got my telephone number, my contract in order, I took the document to my secretariat and I expect, okay, now this is what you do, and then we send the document, and that's it. When I go, she's like, c'est pas mon travail, ce n'est pas mon travail, that's not my work, that's the work of the rectorat. Who told you that it's the secretariat who's supposed to help you with this thing? Okay. And when you look at the group messages, everyone is being helped by the That's so true. I felt like it was really unfair and I didn't have any information. And at the time, I think, you know, something France teaches you is that you have to be fast. So if you experience a problem, ask there and then. For me, the first time, what I would do, I would spend a week wallowing in misery and asking, why me? Why does this happen to me? Instead of asking. Anyway, after a week, I finally mastered the courage to ask the group and they sent me a form. So I did everything on my own. And after that, the secretary is like, oh, I'll help you sign the document. But I remember I was looking for the address where we were supposed to sign, but I couldn't see it. And the secretary is like, oh, no. Let's just search CEPAM Arles, because I was in Arles, and then you send the document. And remember, assistants are supposed to send all their documents in Paris. CEPAM is the, like, NHS, Caisse Primaire d'Assurance Maladie, that's like the NHF. And you know that every town has its local. For assistants, you are supposed to send your documents to Paris. And I didn't know that. So it was sent to Arles. That was in December. I was relaxed. I'm like, whew. Finally, I've gotten it over and done with. Then I receive an email saying, oh, you're supposed to send your documents to Paris. I was wondering, Yanni, you can't just forward the dossier to Paris. You're going to have to start over again. Again, a week wallowing in misery. Why me?
Why?
But imagine I sent the documents to Paris in January. After I sent the documents, I'm like, oh, finally. Then I receive a mail back. You don't have this document. Also, your birth, the copy of your birth certificate is not legible. Oh, my goodness. Another week. Misery. Why does this happen to me? And it's so funny when I think about it now, because if you're told that you don't have this document, it's not that you're a bad person. Just provide the document and life goes on. I was so stressed. I went to CEPAM, my local CEPAM with my CEPAM again. It's the NHIF, the body in charge of the health insurance, which is tied to the social security number. So I went to the local one with my original birth certificate, tried to explain my problem. You know those memes of French admin? Pas chez nous. Do you know that Macron meme? Actually, they literally told me that. Oh, c'est pas nous. And I called the CEPAM, the number. They have a number for Anglophones. And, but you know, to call that number, you have to say the number of your department. Department is like, what would we say? A sub-county.
Like your county.
So every sub-county has a number. But I didn't know that. So when I, of course, you have the automated responses. They won't get your accent because you don't have a French accent. And then you get to the operator and he's asking, what's the number of your department? And he's like, ah, moi je suis à Arles. And he's like, what's the number of he hangs up. Some people have already received their carte vitale. It's January, not getting anything. But after like a week of back and forth, I decided to ask in the group and someone's like, oh, I got the same. I had experienced the same challenge. What I did was I went to the secretary. He changed the settings of the printer for it. You know, the automatic setting for the photocopier, they don't really do the darkest copy so that they can be economical with the cartridge. So we changed the settings of my secretary and I was able to get a darker copy. And he sent it in and I got my carte vitale even before people who had started the process earlier. I received mine in April. So that was my experience. It was not easy, but I'd just like to encourage any first-time assistant, when this happens to you, please don't think that it's your fault or why is this happening to me. No, they want to help you. This administrative bodies are there for you. And for them to be able to proceed to the next step, you have to provide the full or the complete file or dossier. And you, with France, like Olive mentioned, you can't move to the next step without having certain documents. So make sure you follow the right procedure and everything will be okay. And please ask questions and be like, be chop-chop. If you experience a challenge, ask questions there and then, and you'll be able to find solutions. Yeah.
I think one important thing is productivity, because the first month is going to be tough. It's going to be crazy.
That's the one.
And you feel like, you're going to feel like the system is against you. But just, one, ask questions, be proactive, get somebody to help you. You'll work it out eventually. Everyone works it out eventually somehow.
Yeah.
So you're not alone anyway.
I can, what I can especially add is that for me, everything, these experiences are just culture shocks, because back home things move very slow, and then sometimes like people treat you so meanly, so you think like the universe is against you. But here it's like, if you call, you will get it. If you write an email, you will get it. If they miss a document and you send it by post, they will get it. It's not your fault, and it's okay to try, because first of all, you're in a new country, getting your bearings. They're speaking a different languages, a different language at a different speed. You're still also haggling with administrative processes. So if you feel you need that week, get it. And after that 1 week is over, go back again and ask the question.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I should give myself more grace, because I think it was a combination of many things that were, I think it was a trigger, it was not necessarily the problem, but I was experiencing so much that when you get a small problem, that's enough to like tip you over.
So
I would also add that, remember during our interview, we were told that independence, we need to be independent. And before I went to France, I thought independence is about getting your own money, paying bills. But independence is much more than that. Because when I was going through all this, I wanted, like, some part of me just wanted to call my parents and ask them to sort this out, or just have someone.
But your parents wouldn't even know now.
They don't know.
Yeah.
How it goes. Yeah. So independence also involves being proactive. Yeah, making decisions for yourself. Now you're at a point where no one is telling you what to do. No one is following up with you. So you, all that is being independent.
And I think if there's one thing people say a lot about the French, it's that the French government and the administration is very bureaucratic. Like, you will have patience, my friend. You'll have to wait it out. Single step will squeeze you. Get used to it. Yeah. Luckily for us, primary assistants, we have like Conseil Pédagogique, and they do a lot for you. Not everything. I mean, they can, it could be everything if you have all your documents together. So your work is just to send them, and then they forward. And for as long as you send them on time, everything will be okay. But the one experience that was a bit hard for me, which is still today, was getting the carte vitale, because as I said before, my names on my birth certificate didn't match the names on my ID. Either I think it was an issue of name or no, there's a name that appears in my birth certificate that doesn't appear in my other documents, so it was a bit problematic. So now I'm dealing with that at the moment, so for the next time when I go, it will be smoother. Aside from that, I didn't go through much push and pull, because my Conseil Pédagogique, Monsieur Jean-Claude, did pretty much everything for me. For as long as I sent him the documents on time, he followed up on everything for me, and yeah, it worked out pretty well for me. That's, I think, one advantage of having a Conseil Pédagogique.
Having an involved Conseil Pédagogique, because you can find other ones who are not really involved.
Unfortunately. And there's nothing you can do about it. So it's life. You have to figure it out somehow.
Now, if you up, Leah machozi, but ujue, you have to pick up.
Yo.
So, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode even half as much as we enjoyed making it and learned a thing or two. If you did, remember to share it with a fellow Francophile and remember to follow us on all podcast streaming platforms. If you'd like to be a guest or share your feedback, feel free to DM me on Instagram at Tarek RR or tweet about it using the hashtag Kenyan Francophile. Bye!
Au revoir!
Oh, bye
bye. Bye. See you next time. Take care. Bye.